Senator John Kerry went into this past week's Democratic convention needing to clearly define for voters how the foreign policy of a Kerry administration would differ from the foreign policy of the Bush administration. The Democratic presidential nominee had help from a succession of speakers in the first days of the convention, from retired General John Shalikashvili to vice presidential nominee John Edwards. Delegates heard that Kerry would seek to heal tattered relations with old allies while still projecting strength overseas. To get some perspective on American foreign policy, this past week we called around the world to ask former diplomats, journalists, and foreign policy experts for the view from abroad. Two themes were consistently raised in our conversations, from Tokyo to Bangkok, Moscow to Johannesburg, and Vienna to Buenos Aires. The people we talked with touched on the world's fervent admiration and hopes for American leadership, and concerns that America, since the terrorist attacks of 9/11, too often acted on its own without sufficiently consulting other countries. Takakazu Koriyama served as Japan's ambassador to the United States from 1992 to 1995. He looked back over the second half of the 20th century, years when he served his country in many postings around the world. He recalled a time when the United States was admired for being, as he put it, a soft power, and he worried that the basis for that admiration is fading.
The power of ideas, the power of democracy, the power of freedom. And we would like to see America pay a little bit more attention to these traditional soft powers that America has always excelled in the world.
Ambassador Koriyama recognized America's unique position as the world's dominant military power, but in the studied language of a lifetime in diplomacy, he expressed a desire for the United States to reach out to other countries, particularly when military action was contemplated.
There are cases when you cannot solve problems diplomatically, and the last resort would be the use of force. But even in those cases, we would like to see America pay more attention and more efforts on multilateral cooperation and cooperation of America's traditional allies of liberal democracies.
Concerns about unilateral action by the United States were echoed in many of our conversations. Kawi Chunkitawan is assistant editor at The Nation, an independent English-language newspaper in Bangkok, Thailand.
Certainly, America will contact and discuss with major powers and member of United Nations Security Council, but oftentimes America just ignore country in the Asia-Pacific. And America always said that countries in Asia-Pacific are pivotal in the U.S. global strategy. But in reality, the United States has failed to consult and discuss with leaders from Asia-Pacific.
Eugen Freund is foreign editor for Austrian radio and television in Vienna. He, too, acknowledged that smaller countries are unlikely to influence large international decisions.
The Austrians won't be in any position to change American attitudes, but certainly the French and the Germans would like to be involved, and they have made it clear, particularly in the Iraq case, that they would like to be a major partner in this, and they have not been heard. If I remember correctly, George Bush said, who is not for us is against us, and he doesn't see any middle ground, and that's something that the Europeans seem to be very unsatisfied with.
Freund said that even with consultation, differences would remain between long-standing friends on major world issues, perhaps most notably on how to deal with the conflict between Israel and the Palestinians.
That is certainly one issue where the Europeans and the Americans do not speak the same language. Most of the initiatives that the Europeans pursue are such that would rather help the Palestinians to get out of their misery than to assist Israel in defending itself.
From Russia, America's arch foe through the long decades of the Cold War, came the strongest support for Bush administration policies, and an equally strong desire on the part of Russian President Vladimir Putin to see Mr. Bush remain in office. Masha Lipman is a research scholar at the Carnegie Center in Moscow.
President Bush is already a long partner and a partner with whom President Putin has a good relationship. And, of course, President Putin would like to keep him as a partner rather than build a new relationship from scratch.
Putin's warm feelings for President Bush are a reflection that the White House under Mr. Bush has treated Moscow very differently than during the Clinton administration. President Clinton had strongly and often publicly chastised Russia's treatment of dissidents and particularly Moscow's handling of the continuing bloody rebellion in Chechnya. Again, Masha Lipman.
After September 11, after President Putin was the first world president to call President Bush and to express his sympathy and support, the American administration began to look the other way at what was going on in Chechnya. And Putin basically was left to get away with whatever he was doing there. And, of course, this suits his interests.
Regional concerns were also voiced in almost all of our conversations. The AIDS epidemic has spread death and desperation throughout much of Africa. In South Africa alone, more than 10% of the population has AIDS or is infected with the HIV virus. Jovial Rantau is deputy editor at the Star newspaper in Johannesburg, South Africa.
I think the sense here has been that the U.S. as a government has been able to do quite a lot to help fight poverty and to contribute money. But I think there's a sense that there needs to be some kind of pressure from the U.S. on U.S. Pharmaceutical companies to make the drugs that fight this pandemic affordable to ordinary people.
The power of money extends to all regions. The United States is a major trade partner with virtually every country in the world. Decisions made in Washington reverberate through markets everywhere. From Buenos Aires, political scientist Carlos Gervasoni voiced a concern about the ramifications of protectionist policies in the United States.
Issues of trade, for example, something very important for Latin American countries that are very important producers and exporters of agricultural products, have seen that the U.S. has been reluctant to open its own market and discontinue some of the subsidies that it's currently giving to the U.S. farmers. And that has produced some harsh feelings regarding the U.S. foreign policy.
Harsh feelings were reflected in many ways throughout our conversations, particularly regarding a sense of disappointment with a country that for so long was perceived around the world as using its power to help less wealthy nations to prosper or to help repressed people to gain freedom. Journalist Jovial Rantau from Johannesburg.
This country that we looked up to during our dark days of apartheid as this beacon of democracy would go to the extent that it has, for instance, in Iraq, where now we have a situation that everyone is told, okay, it's a democracy, and it's not a democracy.
Such disappointment was tempered with a practical view from Argentina that recognized the complexities of a single nation having so much power in a world with so many diverse concerns. Political scientist Carlos Gervasoni.
The world is so complicated these days that without cooperation, none of these problems is going to be resolved. Leadership doesn't mean that you impose your will on other countries, but that you can lead other countries by seducing them in some way. And I think that the U.S. can more effectively lead the world if it increases its soft power. You know, this idea that a lot of the leadership of the U.S. has to do not only with weapons, its strong economy, not only with technology, but also with prestige, with reputation, with moral authority. And the U.S. has a lot of power in that respect.
As the American political campaign continues between now and November, we will have more conversations with policy experts and journalists from overseas about how the United States is seen from abroad.